HKX, mobile.
KO4, PXB, also mobile.
You mean you're getting a move out there on 85?
KO4, PXB. In just a few seconds, I'll stop laughing because I haven't even got to 85 yet. I just now got off work, so I'm still on the back road heading that way.
That explains why you're mobile then.
Certainly does. I'm at the same place yesterday where this idiot driver on a dirt bike pulled under, was going up underneath the bridge, passed 7 vehicles in the center lane just so he could go first.
People anymore just have no regard for their life or anybody else's.
This is definitely true, especially being on a dirt bike that should not have been on the roadway anyway.
Hey, I worked today.
Yep, it was definitely good. I was on a support call with backup exec because we went to the cloud service and the backup job just sits there in a queued status. And also, we found out that, well, a couple of people in the county that have left the parks area, they never paid the bill and did anything with the disconnect, so all the phones at the park went down because of that. So that was pretty much my day.
That's a heck of a day to be dealing with phones down and not being able to back up your system.
Lucky for us, we still have a secondary backup. We have a 50 terabyte storage device that we're still running the backups to, but they're wanting to start having the backups in the cloud. But it's sit there, we've been testing for the last 2 days, and the job stays and it has been in acute status for 2 days, and you would think it'd be showing some kind of data between now and then.
2 days is long enough to back it up, no matter what size it is, I would think.
KO4 PXB, especially when according to the Wasabi Cloud, it has a 31 terabyte upload, and so there's only a little over 40 terabytes that would have to be pushed out to the cloud.
I think that would take too long. I mean, not that kind of time anyway.
The only caveat to that was we're limited on our network speed getting to the ISP, and then when it gets to the internet, where that terabyte speed comes into play.
Nothing about that. The internet around the house is just barely above dial-up.
The fastest you're going to get internally will be a 10 gig connection. So, and that's going to be with fiber to fiber, but then you're still, most places on the inside don't run fiber to the PC. They'll only run it from switch to switch, fiber.
The network up around the house, it's horrible. Every night, right around 10 o'clock, you might as well forget trying to watch a video or anything like that, because it's going down.
For a PXB, that's definitely true. Everybody else gets home and wants to start doing the same thing. And especially if you're at the end of the loop of the network, then you're definitely going to have a very slow speed.
Toward the end of it, because I'm at the county line, so there's not much after me.
Who is your provider?
Emporium.
Never heard of them.
You can get in Transylvania County where I live. Before them, it was an individual, the Pickle Farmers. They had a monopoly on the whole county's phone and internet service and cable TV.
Is it cable or with satellite?
My internet that's cable.
Yeah, it's not so bad. The is there a cell tower close to you? That might be, you definitely might get a little bit faster speed getting an air card.
Nope. My cell phone doesn't work unless it hits the Wi-Fi network.
AO4PXB, you might just want to get a big thing of yarn and start putting tin cans on the ends of them.
I think that would be an improvement.
I have officially made it to 85 and I'm running 65 miles an hour for just probably about 5-10 more minutes.
You'll make it all the way home without any obstructions to your ability there. Hopefully, anyway.
Definitely, hopefully so. And when I get home, I'm set the plants that's in the sunroom outside since it's now going to stay above 40 degrees, hopefully.
It's down chilly up at the house this morning. It's down to low to mid 30s when I left this morning at about 5 o'clock.
Greenville was this morning for the past couple of days, been about 45, somewhere around that time frame. As long as the temperature is above 40 degrees, the ficus trees don't get stressed out because they don't like anything below 40 degrees. They'll just drop all the leaves and then you pray that they'll come back.
Ficus trees?
Correct.
What do you got?
Five.
Pretty good size if you're having to move them in and out.
KO4 at PXB, yeah, most of them is about 7 feet tall and probably in like a 5, probably about a 20-gallon container.
Assuming you're using a pallet jack or something to move that then.
Have another younger kid coming by to help me in with both of it and, you know, on the side with it, we'll pick it up, put it on a roller, and then take it down the stairs.
Mom had some plants like that. I still have them. I kept them after she passed away. But I've been moving that thing since I was a kid, and it started out in a 5-gallon bucket, and now I think it's in a 40-gallon pot that she bought for it. That thing is massive to move now.
Good, because a couple of them, one of mine move around, belong to my wife's mother, so it's very special, and so she always does the no-touchy when people come around.
I know the feeling. I don't know what the correct name for this plant is, but it's called a finger tree because the leaves look like big fingers.
Yeah, I'll have to look at that one because it sounds pretty interesting.
I remember a time she didn't have it, so, and I'll be 47 here in just a few weeks, so it's quite old.
Hopefully it's not as temperamental as a ficus tree because I have to trim the ficus trees prior to bringing it inside because if the limbs are kind of traded harshly by bumping the sides of the covered porch area, then it will, of course, drop all the leaves on that one or pretty much drop it a lot more places, and then they will, you know, hopefully come back. If not, just kind of cut that limb off and then it'll start sprouting back at that cut point.
It's pretty temperamental. She, over the years, she taught me how to take care of it, so I'll have to go. It's still up at her house. My stepdad's living there, so I got to go up and see what we're going to do about getting it outside this summer. Once it warms up, we still got some cold mornings up at the house, so it's not ready to go out yet.
Yep, do like I've done one of the trees that are, it's on a rollable container, and then I'll just sit there and put that on a dolly and then just take it down the keep it level and take it down the stairs. It's a lot better doing it that way when you get a better grip on it.
Roger that. But We built a ramp out the back of the house when we put the porch on, so we can take it out the back door that way, so it's not too bad.
KO4PXB. Yeah, on that little dolly, what I did is I just put some, like, U-bolts through that and then tied a real heavy rope to it, and that way we can just pick it up when we're wanting to move it that way.
Sounds like a good plan. I have to look into something like that. So I'm going to have to move it in and out every year by myself. I'm going to have to figure out something.
Definitely, it'll definitely be a saver to your back, being able to just have the ropes that you can pretty much just stand upright, or just for a little bit, put one of those little foam noodles, like those swimming noodles, on the side of it and just wrap it around your neck and stand up with it.
Strap for moving pool tables or refrigerators or things like that.
Correct. It'll definitely save you a lot of time and aggravation.
Forward movement out there on 85?
That's correct. I'm still running 65. I could run it up to 70, but there's no reason to.
No reason to. That's generally what causes the accidents. That and just not paying attention.
That's definitely true, because I don't understand, like I said, I'm doing 65, pretty much staying with the flow of traffic, and you got the idiots that run, you know, 75 to 80, just have no regards.
What other kind of things do you need for the vets that need assistance there, other than socks and pajamas and that kind of stuff?
That's the biggest thing, socks, underwear, and pajamas. Even a lot of them like to still wear the white t-shirt, just regular white t-shirts.
What about female stuff? Do you need any of that?
Yes, because most of the vet places I go to, the vet, I don't recall seeing any females. Not saying that they're not there, but all the ones that when I went there, they were just nothing but guys.
My wife was asking me last night about it. The reason I'd ask.
KO4PXB. If she wants to start trying to get some stuff together, I'll call one of the directors this evening and find out about the what site there's for the that pretty much houses the female vets, if they're, because like I said, I don't recall seeing any there when I go there and talk to them and visit with them.
Fill it around the stuff up that way. If y'all need it, we'll have it. If not, we'll do something else with it.
Because in that aspect, if they don't need it, then any kind of shelter or the women's shelter that takes care of children and for battered spouses, they will definitely take it, because they're always getting females and on the intake like that daily.
Sure, over the years we've had plenty of it, so we'll try to figure out and get most of it to you. I might not get it all this time, but we'll get it to you as we get it figured out.
I truly appreciate it. Some of the funny stories about that is where we were given a whole bunch of the little ankle socks, and a lot of the older vets, they didn't want it. They wanted the knee-high white socks. We're going, really? We got you know, like 300 to 400 pair of little Bobby socks, and they're going, nope, don't want them.
Yeah, it's amazing when you get set in your ways and have to change things. I can't wear those little socks like that either, so I just can't do it. KO4HKX.
There was one of the vets there that literally, they may have been compression socks or something like that, but they literally come up over his knee, probably to just probably about 1 or 2 inches above his knee.
They bless you. Like I said, once you get set in your ways, sometimes there's just no changing it.
Definitely true, like I said, but they're still good guys to talk to. It's just funny sometimes watching how they do.
Church up here close to the house, we donate a lot of stuff to it too, because they do a lot of disaster relief for hurricanes and natural disasters and tornadoes and stuff that go through. So they do a lot of stuff for that. So we'll donate a lot of things, clothing, household goods, you know, just whatever we think they might need.
KO4 PXB, yeah, that's definitely a good thing always during hurricane to have, because most people do lose all the stuff they were cooking with, the utensils and plates and stuff like that. That's one thing that's not very well thought of when people put it a bug out bag together.
They don't. You're going to need something to eat out of, and you're going to need more than protein bars too. I mean, that might last for a little while, but you're going to need something pretty quick.
I went on to one of the, I've got a magazine for one of the survival things, and I've got probably like 5 or 6 of the shelf life stuff that you just add water to it like that, but that's good for 10 years.
And it's always good to have some of that stuff laying around. The power is bad to go out up at the house and stay out for weeks at a time, some days, sometimes. So nice to have some food around that you can eat without having to have a whole lot of preparation to it.
Definitely funny that you say that. A couple of years ago, me and my wife made the smart investment that we took our tax return and put in a standby generator that will run the whole house, so we don't have to worry about the power going out.
In one of those several years back myself, the only thing that limits me is the amount of propane I can keep around, because it's a propane generator. At the time, that's about the best you could do, because diesel fuel just draws water to it, and natural gas is nowhere close, so, and gasoline just wasn't an option.
KO4 at PXB, yeah, they just stopped it into the natural gas of the house, so that way when it comes on, it runs on the natural gas that's already piped in for the house.
Phone call, somebody had to jump out. I'm going to say 73 for now, KO4HKX, and I'll be clear. Have a good day.
KO4 PXB, also please be careful. I'll be 73 and mobile.
C4SKD, listen. SKD clear.
CTW mobile.
CTW, I hope I got that right. My call is KC4SKD, name's Larry.
Hey, you got it right, it's W4CTW. This is Tyler here. How you doing today?
Yeah, it'd be nice if I had a big bowl of butter pecan ice cream with blueberries and whipped cream.
I bet it would. I'm sure there's a couple places around town you might can find one of those, though.
And it's home. Boy, here's 3 law enforcement vehicles. I don't know what's going on here, but they got the traffic stopped.
A couple times here lately. This week seems to be really bad for wrecks. I've got jammed up at a wreck almost every day on my way home this week, which is really unusual.
Back in June, I got trapped on 85 for 1 hour and 45 minutes. I mean, just absolutely stopped. There were people getting out of their vehicles and walking around. So when I leave work at certain times, I do not go 85 anymore.
With you. That happened to me about probably two and a half years ago now. We were driving back from Virginia, and we were right there around Gaffney, and there was a 5-car pileup. One of the vehicles involved was a truck carrying tires, and it spilled probably at least 1,000 tires or more across the highway. So between cleaning up the cars and the tires, I think we sat there for at least 2 hours, 15 minutes, if not 2.5.
Right. When that happens, and at that time I did not have the radio in the car here, so, but I went over to the guy in the truck next to me, and he rolled his window down, and I said, boy, I'm glad I went to the bathroom before I left the office.
That happened for sure. I saw people get out of the car and wander into the woods. I wonder what they were doing.
My brother drives a lot on his job. It's not uncommon for him to drive 1,200 miles a week going around doing service work, and sometimes he leaves. He's gone all week.
So the road, is he do over the road, or is it all local driving? Because that's a lot of driving for local.
It's local. It's around upstate here in North Carolina and Georgia. But I feel sorry for him. He said the dogs are really happy to see him when he comes home on Friday afternoon.
If he's tri-state, he probably does spend more time in the truck than he spends actually doing the service calls.
He's got a three-wheel trike he takes with him, too. Get some time on some of the trails when he's away from home. So it's good to be able to do that. And I don't know what's going on, but I'm caught in another traffic jam. There must be another wreck.
That I've made it down Haywood. I'm headed down Lawrence toward Malden right now, and it's pretty smooth sailing. Hope I don't jinx myself with that.
Gotta get home. I bought something for my dad on Amazon. Actually, he wanted me to buy it for him, so did that, and come find out it don't work, so now I gotta go package it back up, send it back, get money back for it. He wanted a DC power supply that would be variable from 0 to 120 volts, but it's only 1 amp, and it's not enough to do what it needs.
Pretty big voltage variation. He said 1 or 0, whatever, to 120 on DC.
He plays with LED lights, and sometimes he doesn't know what voltage it takes to light them upright, so he needs something that can do that and, you know, get the right brightness out of them. And I'm up here to a road. I'm going to take a detour and try to get away from whatever's going on.
If it's for LED lights, I work in the electrical business, and there's actually something that I'm looking at for a repair job. It is a LED driver made for driving LEDs, but it is computer programmable to be used with various different fixtures. It's trying to be universal, so you can figure out what feed voltage your light needs and set it up with your laptop to control that, actually give it the proper voltage for that light.
Sounds interesting. Yeah, I'll have to look into that and see what that's all about. He likes building custom LED light fixtures, just messing around with them to see how long they'll work and what brightness he can get out of them.
My email is up to date on QRZ, so if you look that up and shoot me an email when I get the cut sheets and the part numbers and stuff from my vendor, I'll forward it to you in case you want to look into that for him.
The one problem, though, he didn't have a computer. He doesn't have a laptop or desktop or anything. So I'm not sure, but that does sound interesting.
There's stuff out there that'll do it. You do have to watch that stuff on Amazon. I've bought some components and other stuff out there. Some things work really well, some things don't. And even when you try to look at the reviews to try to gauge, some of those reviews are bought and paid for, I think. So you can't always guarantee what you're going to get. It's kind of trial and error. But thankfully, if you buy it sold by Amazon, usually their return policy is pretty liberal. So at least you can get your money back, even if you do have to make another trip.
I appreciate the info there, but he likes getting old TVs that people throw away and taking the LEDs out of them and using it for different things.
It's probably a good source of components. People don't tend to hang on to those anymore. TVs are kind of considered a disposable item these days.
It looks like I've got out of one mess and then the other. I guess I better put the radio down and see if I can get home, get through this mess. But it's good talking to you, and hope you have a good rest of the day.
Talking to you, I hope I'll run into you again a little bit later down the road. But this is W4CTW, and I'll be clear on your final.
W4CTW, have a good evening, KC4SKD.
KO4HKX, W4DJW. Nothing heard, W4DJW clear.
W4SKD.
Hey Larry, how are you?
Just got stuck in traffic right now. It's going to be a little bit before I get home.
That's never good. At least you got a ham radio in that car.
I don't know how long it's going to run. I about wore the microphone button out on it. But anyway, I'm on a couple other problems with it, but I'll run it till it quits.
That's the best thing to do. I have a Yaesu 350R. They don't make them anymore. They're the predecessor to the 400. And that cable, or the cord that goes from the mic to the transmitter before it, right after it leaves the mic and before it starts that curly process that makes it stretchy, I wore that thing down to just a very few thin wires and one piece of string rope before I decided, you know, this is going to break on me if I don't do something. So I finally swapped it out. It lasted about well over 10 years, though.
At the Greenville Ham Fest in Anderson in 1992, and I bought it from Amateur Electronic Supply.
30 years. That is doing really good. Same mic?
It's got an 8-pin. It's actually an RJ45 jack in the radio that you plug the mic into.
I did not know they had those 30 years ago. I thought that was something new after I started 20 years ago. I did not know somebody had that prior to me starting.
But anyway, it's been a good radio. It's been in, this is about the third vehicle I've had it in.
What's the manufacturer again?
It's a FT2400. And when I bought it, I paid $300 for it.
$2,400. I won one at the Waynesville Ham Fest. Let me look at the number on that. It might be close.
It's been a good one, and I've enjoyed talking on it. It's been in the house as well. Anyway, I didn't know if you're busy or not. I just figured I'd say hey and hope everything's going okay.
Well, I've been programming a RTL SDR dongle for building a TCL TK program so that you can just click on a call sign for AM stations or FM stations or repeaters or whatever you want, and it'll tune to that for you. It's got this thing, this FM, what is it called? It's called RTL_FM. That's a program some guy wrote a long time ago. And when you launch it, you usually pass it a frequency to go to. But it also launches a listener when you launch it on what's called a datagram. It's fire and forget. And you can send it through that port that it launches. You can send it a frequency to tune to. And so I've been having a blast just making it one launch of it and making it change frequencies to go through all the, and seeing how many FM broadcast stations I can pick up from my house on that little RTL SDR. You ever play around with one of those?
Yeah, but it's very limited in what it will receive, and that's about all I could really get with it is the commercial FM stations.
So I'm using a command line program on a Raspberry Pi and displaying it back on my Windows desktop. But you can, there's like SDR Sharp and SDR Angel. SDR Angel is better than SDR Sharp, but with them you can get it to do the repeaters, the local repeaters, and simplex frequencies on 2-meter FM. You can also do the police frequencies that aren't encoded, that don't have the P25 encoding, and you can do aviation frequencies and some of the business frequencies. But you need something like SDR Angel or SDR Sharp.
Sharp. And I was wondering if it was just the limitations of the antenna, because it's only about 4 inches. Little bitty mag mount.
Oh yeah, definitely. It's that antenna. Definitely. I had mine on that little antenna that comes with it too. Nothing. Well, there's a broadcast station on Paris Mountain, and I'm about 2 miles to the east of Paris Mountain and clear sky, and it could hear that broadcast FM station, but it couldn't hear anything else on that little tiny thing. I put it on a W5GI mystery antenna that's up 60 feet, and I've got probably, 13 in one column and about 7 in another column, so close to 20 FM broadcast stations.
Look at that. Anyway, I hate to cut it short, but I'm in the drive-thru here, and I'm next in line, so I better go ahead and put the mic down. But good talking to you, Dave. Hope you have a good rest of the day. KC4SKD.
All right, Larry. Good talking to you. Tell Rhonda hello. Guys, be safe. Have a good evening. KC4SKD, W4DJW, clear and listening.
4DJW, KN4CHY. Good day.
Hey, Keith. I kind of took it easy today. I overdid a little bit of pressure washing yesterday, so I kind of took me a floater, if you know what I mean.
I do. I'm putting off the inevitable. I'm going to go out and get some more grass cut before I run out of light here. Here you're talking about the RTL SDRs. I'm figuring you're all over it, but do you run any white feeders?
Do I really need any what?
Run any white feeders, feeding like White Radar 24 and what's the other one, White Aware?
I'm not aware of what that is. Explain that to me. What is that?
Look up WhiteRadar24.com. They're my favorite ones, but you can track like whatever flight may be happening. FlightAware.com. Both of them, FlightAware, come up with what they call PiAware, and it's an image you load on a Pi and plug in a RTL SDR, and it runs on like 1090, I believe, and it basically picks up the transponders from the aircraft. Over.
Okay, I thought you were saying white, not flight. So that's what threw me. Yeah, I ran Flight Radar 24 for a whole bunch of years, and they were going to send me some hardware to put up on the roof of the house, and for some reason I decided I didn't want to do that anymore. But, yeah, you're talking about that map that has all the thousands and thousands of airplanes, where each one of them are, all across the world, that one, right?
And I kind of figured you had delved into that as much as you think or around that kind of stuff. I've got one running here. I've actually got it connected to FlightAware and FlightRadar 24, both. But, yeah, it's just one of the PiAwares. Do your own, kind of roll your own instead of getting the whole kit from, I think maybe both of them offer kits. But yeah, I've been running it for a long time. I need to build me a new antenna. I'm not getting as much signal as I used to, so my antenna out there is kind of compromised. I need to put together another one for it.
That if you like, I guess you get it free. I did. I was getting it free for the whole time. I was as long as you upload enough points, and I was running it on a Raspberry Pi, and display the graph on my Windows desktop from the Raspberry Pi through X11, and I could see the airplanes going right over the house, and it would send in the data about that airplane, and they gave me free access for the whole time that I was doing that, but then I quit doing that. Now, when I try to log in, it doesn't know who I am anymore, and I have no clue what my login used to be. That was years ago, though, but that is pretty cool. I had no idea before I ran Flight Radar 24 how many planes were actually in the sky. That is just, that's scary. There's so many in there.
It kind of gives you an idea of the the high pressure job of an air traffic controller in it. I've been running one for years. I initially started it because I found out you get, you know, like the free business account with both services. Used to do quite a bit of flight travel. Like those days are about over for me, but I was doing it mainly for the business account, so you could get all the gory details over.
A friend of mine, when I was in high school, his dad was one of the Reagan flight controllers that walked out that Reagan fired, and he never got a job back as a flight controller. But before that happened, my buddy and I used to go up to the GSP radar tower where his dad was, and he showed us how the little plastic rails that they have, and they put a piece of paper in it, it tells what the flight number is and where he is, and that they're rotating through slots as those guys are talking to the pilots, and as they make updates, they update that little piece of paper on that piece of plastic, and then they move that plastic down, and the next one comes up. It's a complicated job. And listening to the language, being a pilot and having to talk to them, you get a real appreciation for why it is they're so difficult to talk to, because they've got so much going on, and you're just one of their many customers. But you're right. It is amazing what those flight controllers can do or what they're responsible for. That would be a high-pressure job.
I didn't realize it at the time. My brother was an air traffic controller in the Air Force. He retired about that same time that Reagan fired them all. And I would tell him, he just got out of the Air Force. I was like, dude, job opportunity right there, you know, because he wasn't working anywhere yet. He's like, nope, don't want to do that. It's like, why not? You'd make killer money, you know, in a civilian job like that. He started explaining the high suicide rates and such. So, yeah, maybe that's a good idea to stay out of that business.
I don't blame him. Life's too short to spend your whole life and, you know, living on the edge. You know, for the whole job. I mean, those guys went through coffee. His dad drank coffee like you wouldn't believe. And they had nerves of steel. And, you know, they never had any accidents, mid-airs, or close calls or anything like that he ever told us about. But, I wouldn't want a job like that. Just too much. Somebody's got to do it, and I appreciate them for doing it, but I wouldn't want it.
Him being on Air Force bases, I've been up in the tower with him, and they get busy, but I couldn't imagine doing that in a civilian airport with all those flights coming in and out. It's just, and even something like GSP, much less something like, it, you know, Hartsfield, Atlanta. I just can't imagine doing that for a living.
Yeah, the one that I saw was GSP, and that was on the edge. Edge of your chair all the time, because you who's gonna run out of the radar, and I haven't handed them off, or who's coming in, and I don't know what their altitude is compared to somebody that's crossing over them, and what their altitude is. That's just too much human, and that is, it's a ton of human interaction, and you know, when you introduce humans, you introduce errors with humans. But I guess they had enough experience to work out all the variables that, or most of the variables that, where humans mess up. But you want something to break, put a human on it. You'll get a lot of breakage.
Sure, buddy. I remember, and I don't know, you know, what kind of technology they had in the civilian Air Force at the time, but back then, I think the last one I've seen, last tower I've seen him at was at Bergstrom in Texas, in Austin. And they had this thing, it was kind of like a teletype, but it had a pencil on an arm, and I believe they used it for weather. And somebody would actually write down, you know, whatever the information was that they were receiving, and it would write it out on the piece of paper on their end. that was just one of the coolest little devices I've ever seen, you know, because my father dealt with teletypes a lot, which are cool, but to see that mechanical pencil, you know, print somebody's information, you know, in their handwriting was just, that was one of the neatest things I've ever seen.
They had a machine like that. They called it a pantograph up in Akron, Ohio, when I used to go up there and teach them how to build molds so that when I was working at Michelin, when we would get behind, we would hire them to help us catch up, but we had to teach them how to do CNC programming in order to get them up to speed so they could do that. But before that, they used a pantograph. And a pantograph is a machine like you explained. They've got a good tire over here, and they've got a blank tire over here. And they carve the good tire, they carve the blank using the good tire. There's got to be some level of degrading. I realize with handwriting and stuff like that, that doesn't matter. As long as you get make it legible, that's good. But they made a machine like that specifically for carving all the features on a tire. One of the things they used, I guess, for one-offs. And a whole lot cheaper than building a mold and curing a tire in the mold. W4DJW. Similar career path, the same kind of exposure. Anyway, I see my wife is getting close to the house. I need to ping her. I'm thinking she's probably going to want Zaxby's tonight. That means I'm going to have to make a trip out. So I'm going to ping her before she gets here so I can go out and get back by the time she gets here. Anyway, good talking to you. Take care. Enjoy your evening. KM4CHY, W4DJW.
Talking to you too, Dave. Yeah, I'm going to get out there and hop on the board for a little while. Have a good evening. We'll talk to you later.
KM4CHY, clear. Hey, Patrick, you calling me?
Saturday, real quick. You got to go real quick, though.
I talked to Johnny about that last night and said he agreed if we don't get enough by Thursday, which is today, I think. Matt's turn to call the net, 28th. It's Thursday. If we don't, and we're a little over half, if we don't get what we need by Thursday, we're going to let everybody know in Matt's net tonight that we're probably not going to have it because we only have a little over half of what we need. Copy that. It sounded like you said Roger that, but you're kind of scratchy. I think. Are you just like coming out of the black hole? Well, you're picket fencing now. I'm gonna go. She agreed she wants Zaxby, so I gotta go mobile. But I'll catch you in a little bit. If not, I'll catch you on the net tonight. But I heard you say Roger that, so you copied that. Go ahead and make other plans if you want to make other plans for Saturday, because we're a little over half, and I don't think we'll get the remainder that we need this evening. Anyway, I'm QRT and going mobile, W4DJW.
Come out and play.
4DJW, mobile.
Good evening, Dave.
Did you have a good day?
I am. It's the earliest I've gotten off in a while.
I'm done by 6:30. It's usually at least 7:30.
That demand is kind of easing off a little bit.
One of my shippers ships really light at the end of the month. Their heavy time is beginning of the month. Now, they are a little lighter than normal, but still, two pallets versus eight pallets doesn't really make a difference, but it just worked out that way today. Plus, I'm still getting paid till 8 o'clock, so I'll take that.
That never can hurt to get paid the same thing regardless, and you get a little bit of, get a little time to enjoy the sunlight before the sun goes down.
If I work over that or past that, it's overtime, but I'm guaranteed my 10, so I will take that. Go ahead, Jerry.
Good afternoon, Shane. Hope you guys doing good.
I'm doing good. I kind of took a lazy day. I didn't do a whole lot of work today. Kind of took it easy. But Shane, is that 4 tens, or do you do more than 4 tens in a week?
4 tens. Occasionally they'll call me on my day off and ask me if I would like to work, and so that's all overtime. And that's another guaranteed 10, but at overtime. So, again, I'll take it when I can.
Cheer. Dave, I didn't think you were supposed to be doing any working now.
Not working than I was when I was working. But when I was working, that worked bad for me work. That's sitting there being a slug at a desk all day long. I'm just now realizing how much damage that does. If you're out and about and you're moving your body all day long, that's healthy. Sitting at a desk 8 hours a day for 50 years is very unhealthy.
More too. I try to exercise a little bit.
Double, yes, go ahead. Yeah, you get exercise anyway. You got to jump in and out of that truck all day long. And based on what I've seen from Postal Service with the power to mail rates, UPS is going to be very competitive.
Getting out is like I used to. That's what I'm saying. I need to exercise more. I went from 150 to 200 delivery stops a day down to 5 deliveries and 7 pickups. So I do a lot more driving now. Go ahead, Dave.
Moving around, though, you're not just sitting in the same place. You're moving your arms and turning the wheel and shift. Well, I don't know if those are automatic or not, but it used to be shifting gears. Pushing in the clutch, the gas, twisting your body around to look, make sure you're not going to run over somebody. That's all good for you. That's what my eye doctor used to tell me to do. She'd say, you can't sit there and stare at that screen all day long. You got to back away from the desk and turn and look out a window and find something really, really far away to look at to relax your eyes, because it's killer on your eyes staring at the screen all day. So, yeah, you've got a much healthier job than I had. And I thought I was resilient to all of that. I'm finding out now that I was taking a hit for all of that and really didn't realize it.
I do a little bit of moving, but it's still not what it used to be, so I have to be careful. And, Dave, something surprised me about you. I've always heard you talking about motorcycles, but I didn't realize what kind you had. It surprised me a little bit. That's a pretty fast bike there.
My dad got one, a Hudaka, for off-road, and then I got an Enduro. That Hudaka, I ran the wheels off of that. And that was when I was, like, in my teenage years. And then I got me an Enduro as I got into the teenage years. And then I got me a street bike, and then I've had street bikes ever since. And it's always been the bikes that you lean forward on. Like dirt bikes, you're leaning over the handlebars. You're not leaning back like on a Harley. Never have had a bike you lean backwards on. Never could really get comfortable with that except for long trips where I put my feet up on the handlebars on like a crotch rocket. But, yeah, I'm a lot more comfortable on those kind of bikes than I am. I don't know if I could ride a Harley. It'd be very difficult to figure out, you know, how to lean and all that stuff while you're leaning backwards.
But rain on it, on a Harley. But if I'm not mistaken, I was just trying to remember the brand, but I heard somebody say the new one on that model will do 75 miles an hour in first gear. Is that pretty close?
Second, you better be holding on with all your might, with your legs and your arms. Your arms won't hold you on it by themselves. Like a lot of bikes, you can just leave your legs hanging on the foot pegs, and but not with that one. You put the back, if you're going to do that kind of stuff, you put the back pegs down, and you put your feet on the back pegs, and your belly's on the tank, because you got to get your head under that windshield. Otherwise, it, you know, just blows your head back really, really hard. And then you can do that, yeah. And when you hit second gear, you know, that helps keep the front tire down because it's coming up. And it's stretching your hands open as it's going through the power curve. And then when your hands start overcoming it, that's time to hit another gear. So it's painful, it is. But it's fun, but it's painful.
To you. I'm sure it is fun. Go ahead, Jerry.
And so, Doc, as I remember those things, Dave, there was a guy in my hometown that sold them. Had a rat, super rat, and a wombat, a combat wombat, and all kinds of variations of those things. But I started out when I wasn't a teenager. I started out riding when I was probably about 20 years old, I guess, 18, 19, 20. I rode dirt bikes mostly, and I rode a street bike for a little while, but not long there. Probably the two fastest I ever set on, you know, that I owned was a Benton Jack Pine, which is a 175 that has a KTM engine. And the Husky 250 I had, that thing would absolutely, it was a wide ratio, it would absolutely scream. It's not as fast as the new ones are, or the, you know, when Yamaha came onto the scene with their motocross type bikes, but it was fast enough for me.
Brian, you gotta be careful. Like they say, it's not if, it's when. And it has happened to me several times. I've been standing on the front wheel looking down inside the trunk of a TR7 one time, on top of the trunk of a TR7. I didn't hit him, but I came really, really close. And I have laid it down, like in a parking lot or something like that, where you just get too slow. But never have laid it down at high speed, and knock on wood. And I think I'm getting too old for that stuff anyway, because every time I took it out riding, last time I'd been on it, I couldn't help but twist that throttle a whole lot more than I knew I should be twisting it. So my wife is probably right. It's probably time to sell it and call that close that chapter of the book. That before DJW.
Comment.
Okay, go ahead, comment.
Dave, good evening, Shane. KO4WWZ.
Good evening, Chandler.
You could maybe get rid of that one, but now you can start on the Harleys. They're a little slower and a little more relaxed.
Pete, I am down in at Zaxby's, and it's kind of in a hole, and it's where you can roll a foot forward, and you lose the repeater, and you roll another foot forward, and you get it back. So I'll be in and out till I get my till I get supper and get out of here. W4DJW.
You guys like talking motorcycles, aren't you? Are you?
Motorcycles, and yes, we were.
That's one thing I would love to have down the road in my life.
Would be dangerous if you're not careful. I started riding when I was 15. I haven't ridden in a while, but it's on my list to do again someday. Go ahead, Jerry.
Ride again, my days of riding are over with. I didn't be able to balance myself, much less balance a bike too. I saw some of those trikes, one of those trikes says, I don't know what was a Can-Am, I don't know what it was now, but it was, that thing was so low ground, Shane, I was unreal, like a cat that was dragging the ground on it, but that thing was cool looking. My grandson told me, he said, Papa, that's what you need to get. I said, and my wife said, no, Papa won't be getting one of those. So, you know how that goes, Shane. But anyway, it was, I used to love it when I especially loved riding off-road. And I put a little bit on the street. I had the last street bike I had was back in the mid-70s. That tells you how long ago it's been for me to ride a street bike. But I did enjoy it, though, but I just didn't. Nowadays, you just have to watch out for everybody. They just, man, they run over you in a car, you know they'll do the same thing on a bike. Correct, Chandler.
Hey, look. One, it's not, hey, look, hang on. Now, that decision is a jury decision. That's not a wife decision. That's a jury decision. But, to be fair and honest, I cannot balance myself, and I want to have one of them Harley tri-rides.